Well, I wonder, did you get caught up in Black Friday? A relatively new phenomenon where people are rampaging to the shops and the police have to come along and try and sort things out. I don't know if it's an age thing, but when these Americanisms come across the pond, I turn all Victor Meldrew. I love Christmas. I love lots of things associated with it. I'm desperate to avoid being all bar humbug about Christmas, but Black Friday doesn't really help. For those of you who are blissfully ignorant about Black Friday, it took place on Friday, and it's when the stores apparently discounted everything, and as a country we spent about £500 million in one day. Its origins are from the state of Philadelphia in the 1950s and 60s, and after one Thanksgiving day, the stores decided to have a discount. And what happened was the people, the hordes of people went to the shops. At the same time, it was the annual American football game between the Navy and the Army. So chaos ensued. Hence, it was called Black Friday. People now think it refers to the fact that the stores go from being in the red to the black financially. But that's the original origins of the word, the term Black Friday. Apparently, some Americans wanted to change it because Black Friday sounded quite negative, so they wanted to call it Big Friday. But Black Friday has stuck, and in many ways, I think it's quite appropriate. So I wonder if a stranger came to our planet, and more specifically to England, for the month of December, what would they make of what they see and what they hear? They'd see people busy shopping, walking shop to shop with more and more bags. They'd see the food being advertised and people encouraging to buy even more food because, of course, is that food shortage coming along. They'd see homes decorated with a range of lights and Christmas trees and other sparkly decorations. They'd hear people saying, I must get this, I must get that. What do you want? What can I get you? They'd see people taking money out of cash machines only for it to disappear quickly, or credit cards steaming as money is so easily and readily spent. They'd hear people excited about relatives coming. They'd hear people not excited about relatives coming. They'd see alcohol being piled high, ready for the parties. And the stranger may well ask, what is it all about? Is this what Christmas is all about? Is this what happens in the time of Advent? And I wonder if they observed my life, if they observed our home, would they ask the same questions? Would they observe the same things? Today is the start of Advent. It's the fourth Sunday before Christmas. And Advent is a time of waiting and preparation. The word Advent means coming or arrival. It's from the Latin Adventus, which in itself is a translation of the Greek word parousia, which usually refers to the second coming. I think Advent has the potential to be the perfect antidote to Black Friday and all that it means. Well, fortunately, as well as Black Friday, some of our brothers and sisters in America also want to give us an alternative way to celebrate Advent. And there's a website that I came across called Advent Conspiracy. I'm not too keen on the title, but it has some really good ideas. So if the technology works, we're going to watch a short video clip. And at the end of the video clip, I just want to give you a few moments to turn to the person or people next to you. What are your thoughts on the video clip? How do you feel as you approach the next month, this time of Advent? What's on your mind? What are your preparations like? So we'll see if the video clip works.
Thank you.
Okay, so just for a couple of minutes, just turn to the people around you. Any thoughts on that video clip? Any thoughts about the time of Advent, your preparations in the lead up to Christmas? Okay, well, hopefully you can carry on some of those conversations at the end of the service. That would be great to continue that fellowship and that discussion. So I wonder if that stranger will be able to work out what is happening in December is actually a time of waiting, of preparation for the coming, for the arrival of Jesus. You see, I think if we get Advent right, then we may well enjoy some of the things that I mentioned earlier. But actually, because of focus on Jesus, it will be a time of hope and a time of love. Advent should be a time of great encouragement for us as Christians, as we remember so many prophecies and promises fulfilled. And it should fill us with love and hope that transcends any presents, any food, or any drink we may enjoy at this time. And as well as being an encouragement to us in our faith, it's a great opportunity to share that hope and love with those around us at work, with family, with friends. But it's really hard to get that balance right, isn't it? And as I say, we don't want to come across as bar humbug and be miserable about everything to do with the commercial aspects of Christmas, the presence of food. And we don't want to come across as pious, as holier than thou. Oh, well, actually, Christmas for me isn't about that, and dismissing it all. But surely we do want to be distinct from the mass, and some would say the crass, commercialism that has taken over Christmas. But we want to do it humbly and in a way that focuses on the love and the hope that is the best gift of all. And we also need to be reminded that we're not the only ones who are turned off by the rampant commercialism. Many non-Christians look at what's taking place and say, if that's what Christmas is about, I don't want anything to do with it. Advent is a time when we look back to the first coming of Jesus and we look forward to the second coming, and it affects how we live now. We look to the past, we look to the future, and it affects the present. We look to the past and think about the first coming of Jesus, the promised Messiah, and we had the reading from Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, and you may want to turn that up in the Bible in front of you. So Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. And I think it's on page 700 in the Old Testament section of the Bible. And in those passages, in those verses, God's people were promised the establishment of the house of the Lord. And it said, it shall be lifted up, and all nations shall flow to it. Verse 3, why? So that he may teach us his way, and you may walk in his paths. That he will judge and turn weapons of war into means of peace. Clearly we can see direct references to Jesus, his first coming, the prophecies that were fulfilled. And at the end of that passage that we had read to us, verse 5, the encouragement, let us walk in the light of the Lord. These prophecies were fulfilled in Jesus. And indeed, those who've looked into these things have worked out that 353 prophecies of the Old Testament were fulfilled in Jesus. Advent is a time when we can look to the past, to when Jesus first came into the world, when he was born as a baby to Mary, with Joseph nearby in the lonely manger. They were visited by the shepherds who had heard that message from the angels. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. This was Advent, the coming of the promised Messiah, promised for centuries. So Advent is marked by Advent past, the first coming of the promised Messiah, the amazing yet in many ways humble and unnoticed birth of Jesus. So I guess if we think about that stranger I mentioned earlier on, would he see a link between all that's going on in December and the first Advent, the first coming of the Messiah? I wonder if he looked at my life in the following days and weeks, would he see it being shaped by the first Advent, when God intervened, when God stepped into the world himself? But Advent is not only about the first coming of Christ, wonderful though that is. As the passage in Mark tells us, Advent is also about the second coming. Advent past affects us in the present, but what about Advent future? In the passage we had read to us from Mark, we have Jesus talking about the future, his second coming. So if your Bible's still open, it'll be helpful to turn to Mark chapter 13, and that's on page 50 of the New Testament section of the Bible. And the passage in Isaiah mentioned the house of the Lord. And at the start of the chapter 13, in verse 1, Jesus has been with his disciples. And one of his disciples basically is saying, how amazing, how wonderful the temple is, how impressed he is by it. And then as usual, Jesus gives a response that his disciple doesn't expect. Because he says, not one stone of the temple will remain. And then in verses 5 to 14, he goes through signs of the end of the age. But more importantly for us today, thinking about Advent, signs of the second Advent, the second coming. Verse 7, there will be wars, rumours of wars, earthquakes and famines. Later in the passage, verse 10, there will be trials. Brother will turn against brother, father against child, children against their parents. And Jesus says, don't be alarmed. Verse 21, there will be false messiahs, and these false messiahs will produce signs. Then in verses 24 to 27, Jesus makes it clear there will be no doubt at the second advent. Just as at the first advent, did you notice, there will be light, there'll be angels, but it will not be to shepherds and wise men. It will be for all mankind. This will not be Jesus being born or coming to earth in a lonely manger. This will be unmissable. There will be no doubt for anyone that Jesus has returned. And when I read verse 24, to me it struck me as almost like creation in reverse. The sun is darkened. The moon is unable to give any light. And the stars fall. Why? Because the light of Christ has come. The light isn't needed anymore. It's outshone by Christ and his glory. Verse 26, the Son of Man coming on the clouds with great power and glory. Verse 27, there are angels there, just like the traditional nativity that we see in lots of schools and in churches. And angels are there. But they're not just sent to some shepherds. They're sent to the four corners of the world. Wars, famine, and so on are just signs of Jesus' return, of the end of the age. When Jesus returns, all mankind will know. There'll not be one person who will be able to say, is it really happened? Is that really Jesus? It will be so powerful, it will be clear to everyone. One of the massive encouragements of Advent is it reminds us that God is a God of promises and that God is a promise keeper. Just as Jesus' first birth, his life, his death and resurrection showed that all the promises from centuries before came to be true, that they were fulfilled, so we can trust the promises of God for now and for the future. And one of the big promises is that Jesus will come to the earth again. At Advent, we look to the past when the promises of centuries were fulfilled in Jesus' birth. And all that followed on from that, his life, his teaching, his miracles, but especially his death and resurrection, mean that each one of us can know God's forgiveness and new life by the Holy Spirit in Jesus. Each one of us can know, because of the first Advent, hope and love in Jesus. So at Advent, we live in the light of that, but also in the light of what is to come when Jesus returns. And the Bible is clear that the second Advent will be different from the first. All will know. So what is Advent like for you? What is it like for me? In the passage in Mark, Jesus says in verse 35 that we need to be alert. We need to stay awake. For we know that Jesus will return, but we don't know when. So Advent is when we look to the past, we look to the future, and it should shape the present for each one of us. It should help us to stay alert, to keep awake. I mentioned the stranger at the start. And you see, I think there's a real danger for us, even as Christians, that for everything that takes place in our society at Christmas, that actually Jesus becomes that stranger. Somehow he doesn't quite fit in with all the presents, the parties, the food and the drink. So we can push him to the sidelines. And if that's true for us as Christians, how much more so for those around us? Advent is a time when we can focus for ourselves on Jesus' coming, past and future. But it's also a time when with our lives we can share that hope and love with family, friends, work colleagues who do not know at the moment the hope and love that can only be found in Jesus. I certainly don't pretend to know how to get that balance right. But what I do know is if we take hold of the opportunity Advent provides to focus once again on the birth and return of the promised Messiah, then God will guide and shape and lead us by his Holy Spirit. One of the things you might want to do in the pick-me-up is mention some readings. There's a website you can go onto, and if you register with it, there's daily readings in the time of Advent. So that might be one of the things you want to do just to help you to focus in this time. And in preparing for this talk today, I've been really challenged. I've been encouraged. And so we thought of a family about one or two things we might do. And I'm certainly not standing here saying that we've got it right, but just maybe to encourage you. So we've had to think about the gifts that we give. And fortunately, our children are quite into baking at the moment, and it tastes pretty okay. So we thought we might give some of our relatives homemade gifts. From the money saved, we've decided to sponsor a child from Compassion and to pray for that child and the work of Compassion, particularly during Advent, but beyond Advent as well. I know those of you who have children will identify with us that it is difficult to get the balance right with children about gifts and so on. But we hope by a focus on Advent, by as a family focusing on Jesus' first and second coming and talking this through, that God will keep us alert and we'll be able to celebrate and in many ways get immersed, get lost in the message and hope of love in Jesus, rather than getting lost in all the other things of Christmas. We need to make sure and encourage one another that we don't make Jesus that stranger who's looking at all that's taking place and asking, what is it all about? I want to be clear, I love Christmas, I really do. I'm not a bar humbug person. I like the food, I like the presents, I like the time with family, the decorations and the lights. But I like it even more, and especially because of the hope and love it brings in Jesus' first coming and his return. The passage in Isaiah in verse 5 said, "Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." And that's a great encouragement for us at the start of Advent. But also, we want to be so excited and caught up in the good news of Jesus that we're actually able to echo the final words of the Bible in Revelation 22, verse 20, where it says, "Jesus, who testifies to these things, says, 'Yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, come.' The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen." Amen.